The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Good day to you all. I hope you're doing well out there, everybody. A good number of our listeners, you guys are facing some pretty nasty weather today. You folks in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Tulsa, across much of the state of Arkansas, right here in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, you guys are all under the gun today. Be careful out there, wherever you might be. This massive storm system is going to be slamming through much of the southern part of the country today. So you guys be careful. Listen to your radio station. They're going to give you all the information you need to keep you safe and up to speed. You're not going to find that in a podcast. You're not going to find that on the internet, but you will hear about it on your local radio station. And that's why radio is so vitally important. All right. That's your public service announcement for the day. Hey, can we, we've got a lot to talk about today, and I want to start out by just full disclosure, we invited Madison Cawthorn on this radio program today. Madison Cawthorn is causing all sorts of controversy by some comments he made, and we're going to get into that. We're going to actually play the audio in just a little while. Madison Cawthorn was on a podcast, and he was talking about corruption in Washington, D.C., and he was, someone brought up House of Cards, and if you haven't seen House of Cards, that was the Netflix show with Kevin Spacey. I was a huge fan of that show, but there was all sorts of god-awful debauchery in that TV show, and it documents a lot of that in this fictional series. But Madison Cawthorn says, hey, this is not fictional. This is the real deal. This kind of stuff really happens. And he was talking about drug use and sex orgies. Well, I guess that's a redundant because orgies are, well, you know, it's drug and sex orgies. They're in the nation's capital. So, yeah, we hear all about the congressional Bible studies up on Capitol Hill, but we don't hear about the orgies that have allegedly been taking place. And Cawthorn is spilling the beans. Now, here's the aftermath of all of this. It's a little disturbing, and Republicans are enraged. Enraged. Grace, they're enraged. And I want to explain why. Because Madison Cawthorn is not hanging out with AOC. He's not hanging out with Nancy Pelosi. As a matter of fact, his BFFs, his bays, if you will, are none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. So the question is, who's doing coke up on Capitol Hill? And a lot of the Republicans, when they heard these comments, they knew immediately how the media was going to respond. Because Grace Baker, Grace, turn your microphone on. Put down that Chick-fil-A sandwich. Grace Baker, when you heard that Madison Cawthorn was saying, hey, there are lawmakers up on Capitol Hill that are snorting coke and doing things that would make the mayor of Sodom and Gomorrah blush, what was your first reaction?
I want to know who.
Who was it? Name the names.
You can't just throw something out there without giving us more details.
Name and shame.
Yep.
That's right. People want to know. I mean, you know, you might have thought that Congresswoman so-and-so was just a little road weary as she took off her high heels and was seen walking out of the Capitol, but it could have been she was pulling an all-nighter.
True.
Of the other sort. It seems to me, there's so much.
I had a lot of imagery. I had a lot of things going through my head that are just like not suitable for radio. So
who do you think it
even...
is? No, go ahead. Go ahead. It's just you and me talking.
Who do I think it is?
Who do you? No, don't say. Don't say, Grace. So naive. So you're a good church going person.
Yeah.
So we invited Cawthorn to come on this program, did we not, Grace Baker?
Yes, I did it multiple ways, multiple times.
And Cawthorn, he always wants to, you know, by the way, he and Matt Gaetz are two peas in the same questionable pod. we run into them at these political events.
Yeah.
And you and I both know because we've been, and I don't want us to get into great details, but you were in the green room with Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Yes, I was.
He is not what he appears to be in public. Is that a safe thing to say?
That is a safe thing to say, but I already suspected so even via his
So you
image.
Thought that, but just
confirmed.
Just talking with their staff and
yes.
everything. So
yes.
Cawthorn is actually not doing anything from a legislative standpoint.
No.
As a matter of fact, and he brags about that. He boasts about that. His entire team is made up of comms people. So it's for him, it's all about getting his name out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting, it's getting his brand out there.
Yep.
And so we did invite him to come on to explain all of this.
Yeah, and it's like his also going back to his brand. It's like, I'm young, I'm cool, I'm young, I'm hip. That's his whole brand. And then he was with, you know, he had his young, cute wife, and now I think they've...
For how many months or weeks? Was it a couple of days?
No.
So we're hearing all sorts of crazy... We're hearing all sorts of crazy things. But so we wanted him to come on the program. I mean, and I'm hearing reports about Cawthorn from some pretty reliable people I know up in Washington, D.C. But again, we can't confirm, and that's why we wanted him to come on and at least talk about this. And so Kevin McCarthy, the leader of the Republicans, says, all right, look, he's bringing in Cawthorn, probably going to take him to the woodshed, and we'll figure out what that's all about. Now you have the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. You have the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Scott Perry, who is coming out. He's saying, you know what? No. You're not going to do this, pal. You're not going to go out there and just say, oh, yeah, we're having orgies. All the Republicans are just having an orgy. Is that the proper terminology? I'm not sure.
I guess, Todd, I don't know either much.
Well, we're just having a big old fornication party. The fornication nation.
Ugh.
You know who I would be concerned about? I don't want baby doll to see that. I don't want baby doll. Shield my dog's eyes.
Kiss her, honey.
I mean, and Cawthorn says there are a bunch of 60 and 70-year-olds.
They might be the ringleaders.
I'm sorry, what did you say about my baby doll's honey? Don't be talking about my baby doll's honey.
I hope baby dog doesn't have to see all that.
It's all right, Governor. Don't just stay
in
West Virginia,
I would
believe
they were the ringleaders because they got the contacts, you know. They've got the people, but, like, there's no way.
What are they doing, NyQuil shots? Geritol? I don't know.
Pepto-Bismol.
Don't be stingy with the Metamucil. Put another. Maybe that's it. Maybe he just misunderstood. He thought they were snorting that it could have been Metamucil.
BC powder.
Or BC powder. Or they could have been.
Those headaches, man. You're working up on Capitol Hill, you get a lot of headaches.
Well, you know, you go down to New Orleans, you're down at the Cafe Du Monde, and you got the beignets, you got the powdered sugar all over the place. It's
start sneezing.
You know, yeah, it happens. It happens. It could be just a simple miscommunication. But I don't think so. So Scott Perry, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, says, all right, we got to name names here. You're not going to do that. You're not going to go out there and say what you just said. As a matter of fact, let's listen to what Madison Cawthorn, in his own words, said.
The sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, I mean, being kind of a young guy in Washington, remember the average age is probably 60 or 70. And I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, I've always paid attention to politics, guys that, you know... Then all of a sudden you get invited to, like, well, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to?
Yeah.
And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy. Yeah. Or the fact that, you know, there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove, you know, addiction in our country. And then you watch them do, you know, a key bump of cocaine right in front of you. And it's like, wow, this is wild.
What? Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. And a couple of buzzwords here, Grace. And again, I'm not alluding to anything. I'm trying to analyze what Madison Cawthorn just said.
This is all we've got so far.
He was talking about sexual perversion, and he's people that he looked up to, right? Guys he looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
He looked guys, not gals, guys. So my question is, okay, and if I had been hosting the podcast at this point, I would have asked a few important questions. First of all, who are these people? Who are these individuals? Well, I can't say. Okay, did you go to the parties?
Mm-hmm.
Did you turn down? Because nobody's bothered to ask that part of the question.
I know, it's really disappointing.
Because he's got a lot in his past, too, that has been out there.
Yes.
And has been widely covered. We've had Madison on the program, and he's tried to explain it away, but there are a lot of accusations in his past.
Yes.
So what's going on here? What this just shines a great big light on the Republican Party in Washington, D.C.
And not in a good way.
And I'll say this, Grace, it may very well be true, because I have heard there's a lot of stuff going on in D.C.
Of course.
And ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know, and you need to hear this from me, there are not a lot of good church-going people up on Capitol Hill.
No.
And some of the people that claim to be good church-going people are the ringleaders of all this nonsense. So it's not that I don't believe that this is going on. I'm just not quite sure I believe Madison Cawthorn's version of it. And we're going to get to the bottom. That's why we invited him to come on the program. And that's a big red flag for me, because we've always been very friendly with Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, Grace, that there have been a couple of other lawmakers, Matt Gaetz being one of them, they would beg to come on the program on a pretty regular basis. And then when something comes up that they don't want to talk about, it's radio silence.
Pretty much.
And that's just the way it is. We're just, you know what? I know there are people on. Well, there goes Starnes. I knew he was a liberal. I knew it. He hates Matt Gaetz. He hates Madison Cawthorn. He's a liberal. No, I'm not a liberal. I'm just telling you like it is. We believe in dealing with facts here on the Todd Starnes radio program. That's what we do here. And the invitation is open.
Of course.
If Matt Gaetz wants to, Madison Cawthorn wants to come on, and Matt Gaetz too for that matter, if they want to come on and talk about this, I would say come on down.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were MTG, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? So we're going to be talking to some folks in his congressional district. This is just a weird story. And the Republicans are right to be concerned, because they know how the media is. This will become a big story. And the media will be, I mean, you can't put this dog back in the pen, as they say. You just can't. It's out there now. 844-747-8868. The chairman of the House Freedom Caucus says, Madison Cawthorn, better name names, or retract the story, or say, you know what, I was just talking out the wazoo, and you know, it is what I was high on cocaine when I told the story. I don't know, just, you know, walk it back or do something. But what do you think here? Should he name names? Do you believe what Madison Cawthorn is saying, that Republicans are engaging in orgies and sex and drug parties? 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. You got to check that out. We'll be right back, America.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth.
Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
The sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, I mean, it, being kind of a young guy in Washington, remember the average age is probably 60 or 70. And I look at all these people, a lot of them that I, you know, I've looked up to through my life, always paid attention to politics, guys that, you know, then all of a sudden you get invited to, like, well, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to?
Yeah.
And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove, you know, addiction in our country. And then you watch them do, you know, a key bump of cocaine right in front of you. And it's like, wow, this is wild.
You know, Grace, I'm curious about this. You host a lot of parties over at your house.
Yes. Oh, no, where is this going?
No. I mean, but when you host a party, like you had a little birthday party for Merlot, the dog.
I did.
So how did you invite people? Did you send an evite?
Yeah. So I had I made an invitation online and just sent it out via text message.
So what I'm getting around to is, what does that look like? What does a sex and orgy evite look like?
That is a wonderful question.
You know, whips and chains provided.
There's got to be some like code word.
Yeah. What is
trying to think, like the eagle has landed kind of a thing. Like you just kind of, they tell you verbally. And then when you get the text, like, hey, what's the secret code? You just say something like pineapple, and they're like, okay, you're in. Or you say pineapple.
The gerbil is in the cage. Maybe that's the code. I don't know.
The dog has been chained to the house.
Right? I mean, it's got to be something weirder.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way they're just sending out, like, emails.
Oh, I know what it is. Parmesan cheese.
There you go.
That's it. That's the code.
I mean, they're literally... It's like, okay, what do you put on top of your spaghetti?
That's it.
The
Parmesan
question.
Cheese.
And then they say, you know, Parmesan cheese.
You know,
more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Exactly. None's the wiser. Because there's no way they're just sending out an evite that explicitly
says
that.
Wow, whatever you do, don't eat the cocktail weenies at those parties. You don't want to go down. I am just saying.
Ew. We're trying to eat lunch.
Go with the veggie tray. Go with the radishes.
I don't know if I want that either.
Eat the radishes. Let's go to Central Arkansas. Steve is, quite frankly, probably grossed out. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. This touches on what you're talking about this morning, but I'm going to go a pretty broad scale on something I've been thinking about the last few days, listening to all the Hunter laptop crap. We hear a lot about, we aren't vetting the people that are coming across the southern border. We didn't vet the people that came out of Afghanistan here. We didn't vet this. We didn't vet that. We better forget about all that and start at square one. We've got to vet the people that are in Washington running this country. Until we come up with a way to vet them, it's kind of a moot point to be vetting all this other stuff.
Yeah, Steve, I'm with you on that, and this is a great example of a problem we have, especially as Republicans. I think the Democrats, Steve, do a better job of vetting their candidates than we do, which is why they're able to march in lockstep. You know, I get the Republicans say, well, that's, you know, they're just of one mind. Yeah, but they're moving their agenda forward, and the Republicans, we don't do that.
They vet them, Chad, but not for the right reason. I'll give you a perfect example. I've got several friends that have worked as private contractors on a military base that's close to where I live. They have to go through a security clearance, or their employees do. And I've heard several stories about employees that couldn't go out there or whatever reason because they didn't pass the security clearance and everything. They vetted a candidate for the United States that couldn't pass a security clearance to get on this airbase out here and unstop a commode. And he's commander-in-chief of the largest military in the world.
It's,
so they may have a vetting process, but it's back-asswards.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Steve, well said. That's just your healthy dose of common sense for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Steve, stay safe out there in Arkansas. You folks in Springdale. Big tornado touchdown a little while ago. Hey, 844-747-8868. Oh, we've got some big news about Hunter Biden coming up. ToddStearns.com, the website. We'll be right back, America. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS. I mean, I don't know, Grace, do you bring a covered dish to one of those things?
Oh, Todd, to keep it sanitary?
I don't know. I would definitely.
You don't
definitely,
know what stuff's flying through the air.
I'd be bringing a mask and gloves.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Welcome back, everybody. Todd Starnes here. Good to have you with us. We're going to get to Hunter Biden in just a moment, but this crazy story that's got all of Washington talking. And look, we know that crazy stuff happens up in Washington, D.C. I know personally. I mean, I've been hearing people talking about this for years. And sadly, a lot of, and that's why, and I will just, full disclosure here, that's why some well-known conservatives are not welcome on this program, because I know that they are really not conservative, and they're doing some really naughty things. And, you know, look, we don't want to do anything. We want to bring true conservatives on this program. Hey, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our beautiful Liberty University studios. Michelle Woodhouse, who, by the way, I have endorsed. So full disclosure, I support Michelle's campaign. She is running in North Carolina's 11th Congressional District. Now, this was Cawthorn's district, but he left that district. And we're going to have Michelle explain what's going on here. But I thought, what better way to get a good peg on what people are thinking in the 11th Congressional District than have Michelle on the program. So, Michelle, good to have you with us today.
Good to be here, Todd. Thank you so much.
All right. So somebody asked me this. Why would Republicans run against a sitting congressman, Madison Cawthorn? And you've got it. There's a very good explanation here.
Yeah, absolutely. As you spoke to, Congressman Cawthorn decided in the midst of the redistricting we had going on here in North Carolina, we picked up a congressional seat, and Congressman Cawthorn decided to make a move over to the Charlotte market. And he made this decision in early November, made a move over there, and decided that's where he was going to run. And he called me and asked me to step in and run as the America First conservative to fill the now open seat in the mountains of Western North Carolina. Presented my name as his recommendation to President Trump down at Mar-a-Lago. And then as the maps changed and Congressman Cawthorn realized he couldn't win in the district he had moved to, he decided to move back to the mountains and run in his old congressional district.
So he asked you to jump into the race. He moves to what? Charlotte, a much bigger city. You guys are in Western North Carolina. Charlotte, a much larger city. I suspect he was wanting to do that to raise his profile. And again, nothing wrong with that. And then when all that didn't work out, he's coming back and now he wants his old job back.
Absolutely.
Michelle, I want to get your reaction to the allegations that Madison Cawthorn shared in that podcast interview.
You know, it's just one of a series of bizarre comments and bizarre behavior that we've seen from Congressman Cawthorn really over the course of the last few months. And, of course, we were shocked and alarmed to hear such allegations. And voters in Western North Carolina are just bewildered by his pattern of behavior and comments. People, you know, as you speak to Western North Carolina, it is the God-fearing, hardworking, just salt-of-the-earth communities. I mean, this is where North Carolina begins, and people are suffering and struggling under the failed policies of Joe Biden. We've got a crazy liberal coming out of Asheville who's running on the Democrat side, and Congressman Cawthorn's continued bizarre behavior and comments have put us now in a situation where if he were to somehow win this primary, the Democrats are going to take the seat. It will be a plus one, and we'll wake up in November, and Nancy Pelosi will still be holding the gavel, which would be an absolute and utter nightmare. And his comments and behavior continue to tell people of Western North Carolina this is not someone that we can take seriously, and we cannot send them back to Washington, D.C.
You mentioned multiple times about comments and behavior. Give me some examples. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, we have these comments that just came out in this article. But, you know, prior to that, multiple times being pulled over on a revoked driver's license in Western North Carolina and speeding. The knives, the guns, really the headlines that distract from what he should be doing, which is doing good work to be able to make sure that the people of Western North Carolina are served and taken care of, because that's what he was elected to do. He's closed three constituent offices in Western North Carolina, so the 700,000+ people in our congressional district have one office. Just to give people a point of reference, we have 15 counties, and when Congressman Charles Taylor was in office, he had 17 congressional offices to serve the people of Western North Carolina, and Congressman Cawthorn has one.
What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me he doesn't take the job seriously. It tells me that we've got to send out of this primary a strong, bold conservative who will stay true to a faith-driven, constitutionally driven platform, and the person who can beat the liberal coming out of this, of the left. And he continues to put himself in a situation where he's become unelectable and the seat is at risk, which is why we have been so steadfast in staying in this race, making sure that we are letting the voters of Western North Carolina know you've got a strong Christian America First conservative in Michelle Woodhouse that's running, who will never forsake her duties to you as a member of Congress, will always be offering exceptional constituent services, and won't be involved in headlines like this one and others that he's been involved with that really are an embarrassment, not only nationally, but a true embarrassment to those of us in Western North Carolina.
And Michelle, again, full disclosure on this program, after Cawthorn announced he was going to be running, I endorsed you. You have invited me to speak. You're chairperson of the Republican Party there in that district. And again, I think that's important for people to know, so you can factor all that into our conversation here. Michelle, one of the things the congressman has said in the past is that, well, these are youthful, you know, indiscretions. I'm, 26 years old. When you hear that excuse or that explanation, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think youth can excuse one or two things. But when we see a pattern of behavior, it speaks to character. It speaks to discernment and decision making. I'm often brought back to the song that we all sang, going to vacation Bible school as kids. This is the difference between having an adult whose house is built on the rock and someone whose house is built on sand. And wow. I think we're continuing to see over and over with Congressman Cawthorn, his house is built on sand. There's no firm foundation in his decision making. And we have 18-year-olds that are enlisting and fighting for our country. So when a 26-year-old continues to use the excuse of youth, it becomes to me just that, an excuse. This is about character and maturity and taking your role seriously as a member of Congress there to represent the people of Western North Carolina who sent you there, who are struggling with $4 a gallon gas, 30-year inflation, the failures of the Biden administration. Our neighbors, my communities are hurting, and Congressman Cawthorn continuing to have a cavalier attitude of excuses is why we cannot, we've got to make sure, we have to make sure in Western North Carolina that we send a true conservative out of this primary and make sure that a Republican holds the seat.
Do you believe that voters got snookered?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a great question. I really do think we all had such high hopes, me included, for Congressman Cawthorn. I was a big supporter of him. I think we all had incredibly high hopes, and we're just utterly disappointed. He's abandoned and disappointed the district. And when he won in 2020, many of us really saw him as David. It was a David and Goliath story. But what he's proven to be is really the rich young ruler.
Wow. It's I will say that it's a lesson for the rest of the country that we've got to make sure we're doing a good job vetting people and really making sure we are sending people to Washington. I know it's not, it sounds, you know, you want the cool, hip, young, whatever. But the reality is we need people who are seasoned. We need people who are rock solid in their beliefs. And Michelle, to your point, 26 years old, yeah, there are a lot of people that are already in their careers. They're married. They have kids. They're paying a mortgage. And they are, you know, they're not out there, you know, doing crazy stuff. I want to ask you real quick, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Scott Perry, coming out and saying, you know what, he's got to name names. If you're going to make these kinds of accusations, this puts a big target on every single Republican. Name the names. What say you?
I agree. If you are going to put this out, is this a publicity stunt by Congressman Cawthorn, yet another one? Or is if you're speaking truth, then you need to absolutely name names, because it makes all Republicans, all conservatives look bad.
It does. All right, Michelle, we've got links to your website on our live show blog. We appreciate you coming on the program. It's a disturbing situation, and this will be a cloud hanging over the midterms if this is not cleared up very quickly. You know how the media is going to behave on this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I am so grateful for your support and endorsement, and really honored to have time on the show. I'll look forward to seeing you at the end of April in Memphis.
Absolutely. And we'll tell folks more about that in the coming days. Michelle Woodhouse, everybody, running for Congress. And what a crazy story that turned out to be, where Madison Cawthorn announced he was going to run in a new district. He passes the mantle to Michelle Woodhouse. Then he decides to come back. That's sort of, I don't, are we allowed to say Indian giver? No, I don't think we can. Oh, no, I'm being told by the, we cannot say Indian giver. My apologies. Hey, real quick, let's go to the phones. Hendersonville, North Carolina. Dan, listening to us on WHKP. And Dan, I understand you actually voted for Congressman Cawthorn.
I did. And
do you regret that?
I do now, yes. When he was running, I talked to his campaign people. And at that time, I was a little bit leery of him. I told him I'd give him one term. And I've heard lots of things, not only this most recent one, but he claims that he's put forward lots of stuff that really he didn't do. He just signed on to stuff. He really didn't do anything in the term. So there's just no way. I called his office the other day, and I told him there's no way I'd vote for him again. I kind of like this gal you're supporting. She seems to be upright and honest. And when he uses his age, that's just a real sad.
Dan, that's I'm with you on that, because I'm thinking, man, you know, that's, you're 26 years old. Those are grown men. You're a grown man, sir. You know, you're responsible for your own actions and your own behavior.
Yeah, well, that, and he's, you know, I wasn't aware of his driving with their expired license.
Right, that's shocking.
Pardon?
Wow, I was shocked. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and, you know, the reason he's in that wheelchair is because of a car accident.
That's right. That's true. Dan?
So, I mean, he hasn't learned anything, and I doubt he will. I hope he will, because I'm hoping that Miss Woodall there wins the primary.
Dan, appreciate the call. We got to run here. And real quick, to kind of put a bow on this, folks, the lesson for all of us nationwide, we can't get sucked into the celebrity stuff. You know, that's the Democrats do that all the time. We can't go down that path. We've got to make sure we're doing our due diligence on all these candidates. And again, if this is really going on and you've got conservatives that are up there doing all that kind of stuff, we need to know about it. So name the names. That's what I say.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
You guys heard this weird story out of North Carolina. The Wake Forest Medical Center, a school of medicine. There is a medical student there, and we've got the story up on ToddStarnes.com. It is beyond frightening, and I say that because, you know, I have to go visit my cardiologist on occasion, and you know, I've had some other issues with the eyes and whatever, and you always want to think that the person treating you and making sure you do not keel over is not going to play politics with your health, right? I mean, that is, you would think that would not be an issue, but these days it is, and the story is that a medical student at Wake Forest intentionally injured a patient because he disrespected her personal pronouns. Again, the story up on ToddStarnes.com. We're not going to name the student only because she is not. Once criminal charges are filed, we will name the student. At that point, we feel comfortable, but you know, we're just being cautious here. So the medical student, she is a fourth-year student, and she was treating a patient. She was drawing blood. She's got one of those pronoun pins. Have you heard about this? So now people are wearing pins on their lapels that actually list their pronouns. And so she was explaining this to the guy that she was drawing blood from, and the guy laughed. And I would have laughed. And he goes, well, of course you're a woman. Of course you're a she, her. What else would you be, an it? I mean, that's what the guy allegedly said. So she accused the guy of being transphobic. And then she intentionally missed the guy's vein. So she's got the needle and she's jabbing the guy, and so to punish him, she jabs the guy again. And she's writing all of this on her social media pages. Do you understand? These people, they don't care. They don't care. They believe they are morally superior to you. And if you don't like their pronouns, or you don't like the fact that she's wearing a pronoun pin, she has a right to physically hurt you. Look, these are the same people that are defending Will Smith, by the way, for going after Chris Rock. So now Wake Forest has weighed in, and they said, well, we're going to talk to the student, and we're taking measures to address this with the student. Okay, here are the measures that need to be taken. Number one, you expel the student. She's got no way should she be around the business side of a needle. No way. Period. And then something else needs to happen. Somebody needs to call the cops. I mean, she committed a crime here. A crime. Unbelievable. So now you got to worry. Now you got to worry about keeping your politics quiet at the doctor's office, or else you go in for a broken elbow and they're dueling. I don't know. They're sticking their hands up your wazoo, checking the. Well, I don't want to go there. But we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us. Hope you're doing well today. And we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. We're going to be talking to a fellow running for Congress down in Florida and pretty fired up over what Disney is doing. And Disney now declaring war on moms and dads. And we have some exclusive audio to share with you. That's coming up a little bit later on. Also, James Rosen, the White House correspondent for Newsmax, he'll be here in the next hour of the program. While all of the attention on the mainstream media is focused on the slap heard around the world, as well as what's happening in Ukraine, there's another very troubling story that's unfolding, and probably more important to this country is what's happening along our border, where the Biden administration is playing games with our safety. Fortunately, Senator Bill Hagerty, the senator from Tennessee, introduced legislation that would allow the Title 42 public health order to remain in place, and it would be there's an additional component of that that the senator is introducing. The senator here in our Liberty University studios on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Senator Hagerty, hope you're doing well today.
I am, Todd. It's always great to be on with you. Thank you.
And I think we should, again, let people know what's been happening at the border. So much attention focused elsewhere. But my understanding is we've got thousands of people that are still coming across that border.
That is exactly right. And as early as today, the Biden administration may lift what is known as Title 42 that you so aptly mentioned. It has been focused, I think, the administration just in the past year has expelled 1 million illegal immigrants using Title 42, which is based on public health emergency. And that has been the tool that they've used. They're talking about lifting that as early as today. So I've introduced legislation today that not only keeps that intact, but expands Title 42 to include what I think is another massive public health issue. And that's the deaths that we're incurring here in Tennessee and counties all across our state and all across this nation, the deaths that are happening because of drug overdoses, because the massive amounts of illegal drugs that are flowing across that forest border that the Biden administration will not acknowledge. Just last year alone, Todd, we lost 100,000 Americans to drug overdoses. And make no mistake about it, these drugs are coming over from the Chinese Communist Party. The fentanyl and the precursors to fentanyl are being shipped from China into Mexico. Then they're coming across our poor southern border. The Chinese Communist Party is aligned with the cartels in Mexico, and they are waging war on the youth of America. Again, 100,000 deaths last year. Every sheriff, every mayor that I talk with told me that each month in Tennessee is worse than the month prior, and I'm going to lead a group of sheriffs and mayors with me this weekend down to the southern border so we can not only talk about what they're encountering here at home, but what we're seeing at that southern border.
Yeah, that's right. We understand you will be leading that delegation of sheriffs and mayors to the border. What do you hope they glean from that trip this coming weekend?
Well, I think what they're going to see is what I've already seen, and that is tremendous amount of disarray. We're going to see people trying to do their jobs. You look at our Customs Border Patrol agents down there trying to do their jobs, but they are overwhelmed. They're under-resourced. And the cartels have figured out how to do this, Todd. They flood the border. I heard this morning 100 people coming across. They'll flood one area so they can send up the drugs and the other people, the hardened criminals, can come up in another direction to be the gotaways, as they call them. This is a process that the cartels have figured out very well. And again, the Biden administration continues to under-resource that border to facilitate all of this. The Biden administration is supposed to have been coming up with a plan to address the massive amount of in-migration. They're talking about, what I'm hearing is correct, Homeland Security is saying if Title 42 is lifted, they could have as many as another 1 million people coming across our border illegally over the next 6 weeks. So they're stacking up at the border right now, again, on the promise that they're going to be granted access to America. And once they're here, the Biden administration focus is much more on how rapidly they can process people, not on how they can send them back. So this is a process that is just broken beyond repair. It needs to be stopped. The wall needs to be secured there. And we need to go back to President Trump's playbook. That was working. Letting them seek asylum here in America is not working clearly. It worked much better with the stay in Mexico policy that President Trump negotiated very hard and put in place. And we need to go back to that policy.
Senator Bill Hagerty on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, we also understand you're going to have a meeting this week with Judge Jackson, President Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court. What do you hope to learn out of that?
Well, I actually had my meeting with her yesterday, Todd, and I had a respectful meeting with Judge Jackson. We talked about her philosophy as a judge, how she intends to apply the law. I still have more questions that remain. What I want to see is a judge that applies the law as it's written, Todd, not how they might wish it to be. We need to make certain that we have a judge that supports the court as it is as well. She would not commit to me her position on packing the court. Again, the groups that are supporting her seem to be very much in that lane of court packing, adding four more justices so they can change the balance again to get a more liberal bias in the court. We need to halt that and stop that at every turn. So I still have more work to do on her nomination. But as I said, the meeting I had with her yesterday was cordial and respectful, and it began the process.
Were you surprised and concerned by her response to the questions about defining a woman? Senator Marsha Blackburn really catching a lot of national flack from the leftists for asking those questions.
I think Senator Blackburn is completely entitled to ask these questions. It's a point of debate. A lot of the concern that people in America have, certainly people in Tennessee have, Todd, is this sort of a war on traditional values. And, you look no further than youth athletics. I mean, this judge may have to rule on Title IX issues. There's real concern here. And we've seen so much activism take place. I think Senator Blackburn's trying to get at that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And ultimately, it is probably one of the more important questions to be asked because, as you point out, that issue will come before the Supreme Court, whether it's a biological woman who is denied a spot on a team or a transgender athlete. Somebody's going to be filing a lawsuit. We all know how this is going to play out.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fair question to ask.
Todd, I think you're exactly right. That's where it'll be headed. And the Supreme Court is going to be the arbiter of this. So, we will see about the timing, but I think you're exactly right in terms of the destination.
You know, on the Ukraine issue, do you have concerns about what's going on inside the White House? President Biden making these wild statements that are having to be walked back. I think we've had at least four, maybe five statements that have had to been walked back. Do you have concerns about the president's ability to lead, his cognitive skills?
Todd, I'm as concerned as anybody serving the United States Senate. I think you know this. I was the United States ambassador to Japan before I joined the United States Senate. I've been in the role of representing America overseas. You have to be extremely deliberate and extremely precise in the words that you use because those words matter. Those words actually dictate what our foreign policy is. We can't have a president change policy on the fly. You can't have a president that doesn't recall whether he's in a classified meeting or not. I remember the press conference, I'm sure you saw it, Todd, that was about 6 weeks ago. It lasted for an hour and 50 minutes. It was painful to watch it, but the most painful part of that was when he slipped and he talked about what a minor incursion might be and how we might not respond to a minor incursion of Ukraine. And I'm listening to this cringing, thinking I can't believe the president of the United States is talking about this on an open microphone, essentially inviting a minor incursion into Ukraine. I'm sure what happened after that is that President Xi Jinping and his team and President Putin and his team grabbed their English language translation dictionary to try to find out exactly what a minor incursion was so they could go and do it. Putin has obviously gone further than that. I think Putin seriously miscalculated. But when we have a president overseas who continues to misstate, continues to confuse, continues to make statements as he has talking about regime change, I mean, he's becoming a national security threat when he does that, not only to America, but to our allies in NATO. Talking about training, in Ukrainian soldiers in Poland, that's has to be walked back. I mean, these are dangerous statements that are being made that put not only America at risk, but it also puts our allies at risk. This is a real concern.
It is. And, Senator, we appreciate you weighing in on that as well as the other issues. Safe travels down to the border. And thanks for raising significant awareness about what's going on down there. Senator, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to be with you.
All right. Senator Bill Hagerty there on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And, again, a couple of big items here. He says that Biden is becoming a national security issue and a problem. Do you agree with that? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So, look, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going right to the phone lines. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Country music singer Eric Church and canceling a concert this weekend. And you think, oh my gosh, did somebody in his family die? Is he sick? Does he have laryngitis? No. He's fine. He's fine. Mr. Church is a big UNC basketball fan. And of course, UNC, they're playing Duke in the Final Four. So Eric Church says, you know what? I'm just going to take the day off. Can you imagine having tickets to the Eric Church? Is he still a thing in country music? I don't know. All right, but Kyle, the board op, who's our resident music expert, sort of hemming and hawing on this one. But so my apologies, all you folks in San Antonio, sorry about that. You better head on down to Dave and Buster's or something, or go ride on that. What is that little cruise they have down there in the river? The Riverwalk. Very nice down there. Hey, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Jeff in Gainesville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on this medical student who got offended. If you missed the story, she's a fourth-year medical student. She accused a patient of being unkind about her preferred pronouns, so she intentionally missed the guy's vein and jabbed him two times. All right, Jeff, good to have you with us. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I was just thinking about back when Donald Trump was president and he caught COVID. And if I'm not mistaken, when he went into the hospital with the COVID, he was telling them that I hope that everybody, that people are Republicans in here. And the doctor said that we're all Republicans today. Well, and I can understand his anxiety about that.
Well, actually, Jeff, I mean, Trump may have said it, but the person who first said it was Ronald Reagan back when he was shot during that attempted assassination back in the early 1980s.
Okay, well, Grace was right then. I thought it was Donald Trump, but I did think that he actually
Wait. Jeff, you dare question Grace Baker?
Oh, no, sir. No, I was questioning myself. As soon as she said it, I knew there was something going
all
on
right
with me.
Yeah, yeah. She, you know, yeah, you don't want to get on Grace's bad side, Jeff.
No.
That's never good.
No, sir.
But to your point, Jeff, hold on. I'll let you finish here. But to your point, a couple of years ago, I was having a procedure done, and the doctor said, I just want you to know I'm not a big fan of your work. And I thought about getting up right then and there, but I thought, okay, where are we going with this one? But he said, I'm still going to do a good job. And I'm like, well, that thought never crossed my mind, but it has now. Jeez,
yeah,
Lou.
With mine too.
All right, finish your thought there, Jeff.
I was just thinking, all in society, I mean, you know, people's always thought about doing stuff, but they never would actually attempt to do it. But nowadays, it's like, you know, it's like something's been, you know, it's been amplified with everything.
It's a process. Look, it's a thinking process, a thought process. This is coming out of our public schools. And we've seen this manifested in other ways, Jeff, not necessarily in this way. But back when Trump supporters were being attacked, brutally attacked on the campaign trail, the supporters were justifying it, accusing, they said, well, you know, those Trump supporters are just white supremacists or they're racist, so they basically deserve what they get. And then going back to Maxine Waters, you know, telling people to absolutely harass Trump supporters wherever they might be. So this is just a manifestation of that narrative and that idea. Jeff, got to run. A good call. Never question Grace Baker. I'm just saying. Let's go to Connor in Boston. Connor, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, he was brave to challenge the beautiful Grace Baker. I would be something I would never do in all my years being on this show. So good luck to that guy.
You're a wise man, Connor from Boston.
But, Don, I'll tell you, you know, the previous guest you had on when, you know, you guys were discussing the border, you know, the border is the issue of our lifetime here. It is, it's just unbelievable to me just how out of control we've let this border system get to. It's like, at this point, we just almost need to start from scratch because our border patrol agents don't have the resources they need. We're letting people come into this country who do not belong in this country, who are not going to be an asset. And we have, I know firsthand, we have so many people who are trying to get into this country legally who are just going to be amazing U.S. citizens. And they have to go through so many hoops to be able to get in here when you have these illegals coming in who literally just want to come over for God only knows what reasons. And we're just letting them come right through. Kamala Harris has completely dropped the ball at the border. And somebody really needs to be held to account here. It just cannot continue. It's like if you have a dam and you see a leak in the dam and you do nothing about it and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and then there's just a flood, it's like we're at that point now where we're going to have a flood and who is going to clean up this mess in the end? It's not going to be Kamala Harris, I'll tell you that much.
No, no, you're right. It's not. But I think at the end of the day, we're at that point for the safety of the country. We may have to have Kamala Harris in the Oval Office. I mean, if you heard Senator Hagerty, and he's not one of the flamethrowers up on Capitol Hill, Senator Hagerty is a very thoughtful man. And you heard him say that Biden is becoming a national security threat. At what point do the Democrats step in and say, you know what, Mr. President, it's time to call it a day. Got to head on back to Delaware.
Exactly. And that's a great question to ask. But it's like at the same time, too, are they going to be willing to take that hit? That's something that they're going to have to figure out. But I'll tell you, even as an American citizen trying to get back into this country, I leave the country a lot for work. And I'll tell you, to get back into this country as a citizen, you have to. They make you feel like you're trying to immigrate here. It's just unacceptable what they do to prospective citizens and U.S. citizens. Yeah, they just let illegals just flow right across that border, no problems, no COVID tests, no vaccination requirements. Just come on in. Doors wide open.
Connor, got to leave it there, my friend. Good hearing from you. Connor from Boston. Folks, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Is it time to invoke the 25th Amendment? By the way, listen up. MidAmericaPassionPlay.org. MidAmericaPassionPlay.org. It's going to be an incredible performance starting up this weekend. If you're anywhere near the Memphis area, you got to check this out. You're going to love it for the entire family. MidAmericaPassionPlay.org right here in Memphis, Tennessee at MidAmerica Baptist Seminary. We'll be right back, America. Oh, Lord, I hope they weren't playing this at the sex and orgy party.
Oh, no.
I just got
what
a text.
What was this song deemed as again?
It's fabulous. It's.
Trump
I'm just saying.
It.
What did Trump call it? The gay national anthem?
Yes.
By the way, somebody sent a text message, and they said, you know, back to Madison Cawthorn and the gay sex or the sex and orgy parties.
Mm-hmm.
We're assuming it was heterosexual. I don't know.
Oh,
and I just don't want to go down that path.
Who knows?
Somebody said the invitations, were they those pop-up invitations?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. It's,
oh, we
we'll
don't
find
know.
Out. I mean, they get very creative, you know. You I love the ones where you get the card and it has like a little musical song in there, you know.
So you think it has that song playing?
I don't know if it. Well, you know, it could, that could be the moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Welcome. You know what? I don't want to talk about that story anymore. It's disgusting and it's horrible. And I hope Kevin McCarthy, you know, takes Cawthorn to the woodshed over this.
I just want no names.
I'm just saying. Welcome back to the time. Yes, name names. We want to know because we don't. Those people need to be voted out of office for crying out loud. Meanwhile, you've got people down in Disney, down in Florida, that are just they're spitting mad over Disney World declaring war on moms and dads and basically throwing in with the sex and gender revolutionaries. Now, before we go to our next guest, I want you guys to hear this audio. So there was a basically all hands on deck with Disney, and Disney has now declared war on the parental rights and education bill, which they are falsely calling the Don't Say Gay bill, but the bill doesn't say anything about gay. So now we know that Disney is intentionally turning their cartoons into gay propaganda. Let's take a listen.
I love Disney's content. I grew up watching, you know, all of the classics. They have been a huge, like, informative part of my life. But at the same time, like, I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard on my little pocket of, like, you know, proud family Disney TVA. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and, like, our leadership over there has been so welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. And so, like, I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like, maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess, like, something must have happened in the last, like they are turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that, like, momentum that I felt, like, that sense of I don't have to be afraid to, like, let's have these two characters kiss. Let's, in the background, this, like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to, like, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But, like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
All right, that's an executive, a Disney executive, acknowledging and admitting that they are putting gay propaganda, queer propaganda, into their children's programming. Do you, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, have a problem with that? 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have a guy. I follow this guy on Twitter, and you should too, Jose Castillo. He is running for Congress there in Florida as a Republican. Jose, what an honor to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Thank you for having me on your show. Yes, you know, I'm running for Congress. I'm a Disney cast member. It's no secret here that I'm running for Congress. And, you know, I said on my tweet, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but I said on my tweet that actually conservatives are the silent majority. And, you know, there's a lot of attention in the media right now because of the parental rights and education bill that Governor DeSantis, thank God, signed into law. You know, he decided to stand with us parents and our children. So it's getting a lot of attention. And you know, there's a misconception, I think, that, you know, here at in Orlando, here in the Walt Disney Company, we're all raging liberals. And we're not. We're not. That's farther from the truth.
And Jose, again, and that is the big news nugget here, is that you are running for Congress. You are a Republican. You are a cast member of Disney, which is what they call their employees. And a couple of days ago, we actually read that open letter that that many cast members wrote, saying that they're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to go on the record because of the woke agenda that sort of taken over Walt Disney World.
Well, and, you know, I saw that open letter, and I was not part of that, but I understand the sentiment, because a lot of people reach out to me in my job at Disney. I go from location to location. And people stop me everywhere, and they say to me, thank you. We see what you're doing on social media. you're being a loud voice for us. I wish I could do that. I give it a virtual thumbs up, but I don't give it a like because I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be canceled. I don't want to be censored. But yeah, that is basically the sentiment.
No, I mean, yeah, nobody wants to lose their job over this. At the same time, people have got to start speaking out, and that's why I respect you for coming out on the record and saying, you know what, there are lots of conservatives who work at Disney, and they're just afraid for whatever reason to speak out because they don't want to be persecuted. Jose, have you seen the changes? I mean, how is this leftist agenda, this sex agenda, been manifested there at Disney?
Well, you know, I know we say afraid, but I think it's also like a bit of a, you know, disappointment, you know, from some of the, you know, cast members at Disney.
Because, fair enough.
You know, really, what the Walt Disney Company is doing is they're putting their hand on the, you know, on the wind and seeing where the wind blows and trying to figure out, because initially, I mean, I'm sure you're aware that initially they said they would not take a stance on this bill. And we got memos saying they're not going to take a stance. Then it was, no, we're going to support this bill. Now they came out with a statement. The statement says, our goal as a company is for this law to be repealed by the legislature or struck down in the courts. And that is ludicrous, you know, because the people of Florida voted for our legislature, right? Duly elected representatives passed this law and the governor signed it. And now they're saying that their goal as a company is to repeal that. It's just ludicrous. And it goes far beyond what their mission statement. If you go to their Walt Disney Company, you look at the mission statement, it says they talks about entertaining, informing, inspiring people, storytelling, talking about their brands and entertainment. Nowhere does it say they're going to be fighting loss left and right, but that's what they're doing. But the reason I feel that they're doing that is because, you know, they're listening. You know, there's a saying, squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And they're listening to a small minority that's being very loud. So us conservatives need to be loud. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to be a loud voice for conservatives. I'm doing it as a candidate, and I'm going to do it when I'm in Washington as well.
And I hope that you and your fellow conservatives are successful in this. Jose, I think a great comparison here. I mean, look, the LGBT mob, and Jose, on this program, when we say LGBT mob, we mean a small but vocal and very angry group of that, or the subsection of that group. But they want to take over Disney. They want to conquer Disney, just like they conquered the Boy Scouts of America. I mean, they're going after the American traditions, and they've been very successful. And that's why I hope that people like yourself continue to stand up and fight back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard the clip you put right before you got me on. And, you know, I just think that strategy is not going to work for them because, you know, that's not a reality of life, right? So, you know, if that was reality, if 50% of the people were LGBTQ, that would work. But that's not reality. And furthermore, you know, that is not, you know, average conversations that people have. When I go meet someone, they don't ask me if I'm straight or gay or any of that, right? Those are not conversations that people have. So I don't think that putting that into their content is just going to work for them, frankly.
All right. JoseForFlorida.com. That's your website. And we have a direct link on our live show blog, folks, if you want to check out Jose's great work. And he's not only is he a Disney cast member, he's also a devout Catholic and also a marathon runner. So that's pretty impressive. Jose, we're going to get you back on and we'll talk about some of the other big issues facing, you know, the folks there in Florida. And so we'll get you back on. We appreciate you coming on the program today.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Jose Castillo, who is running for Congress as a Republican, JoseForFlorida.com. And that's somewhat encouraging to know that there are, in fact, conservatives and a lot of them who work at Disney. And hear me. You people need to speak out. If you work at Disney, you're a conservative, get everybody together and speak with one voice, just like all these radical LGBT folks are doing. But it turns out that back in the 1990s, I think the Southern Baptist Convention, they had the big boycott Disney, and they were castigated by many conservatives. To this day, they are ridiculed. But they were onto something. They saw back in the 1990s where all of this was going. And if you are, as and I know a lot of people, I go to church with a lot of people that love Disney. And they go there every year on vacations. Hate to say this, but you folks are funding all of this stuff. All you church groups going down to Disney and all that, you folks are funding all of this. So if you want to send a message to Disney, here's my recommendation. Cancel your Disney Plus subscription. You know, what was it, Grace, when Avery, our beloved intern at Liberty, was a big fan of what was the Mandalorian series?
Oh, yeah.
So I got the Disney Plus subscription. You know what I did yesterday? I canceled that Disney Plus subscription.
Nice.
And I wrote a note saying why.
There you go.
I'm just not going to allow my money to, and I know it's going to hurt. It will, yes, it will hurt. But you've got to start making these decisions. Don't go to the movies. Don't subscribe to the app. There are plenty of things that you can do to send a message, and it's not enough just to cancel. Send them a note and tell them why.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. John, listening to us on WDUN. All right, John, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Longtime listener. You've come a long way since your Fox News days. So thank you for what you do. I wanted to get right into it. I am totally against Disney. About 14, 15 years ago, I discovered all of the subliminal messages that are in Disney films. And I'll give you just a quick overview. Drugs, sex, and satanic worship, just to name a few.
Really?
Oh, my God. Just Google it, okay? But let's talk about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Every one of those dwarfs, their name is a stage of cocaine addiction.
Wait,
grumpy,
what?
Grumpy, dopey, oh, yes. And you know where they worked? In a diamond mine. And cocaine, in its rock form, is referred to as diamond. And there's three colors. Of course, I Googled all this. I didn't know this. Yellow, red, and I think pink. And it shows them working in that diamond mine. Apparently, Disney, he had a cocaine addiction.
What?
And he used that as the basis. Oh, yes. Of the
Walt
basis.
Disney? No.
Yes.
Where yes. are you getting this information? I've never heard this, John. I'm just curious here.
Just Google it, Todd. Here's another one. In one of the movies, they have this train coming down the track, and in the windows, there's people looking out. One of them has a woman flashing her breasts. There's another... let's see.
John, where do you, how, I mean, are you, is, are, I mean, you're pretty much in the know about all this. Do you investigate this stuff? I mean.
Yes. I was on the internet for weeks, and this is 15 years ago. Look at the Disney names. There's three sixes, and all the movies are some kind of witchcraft. That's a reference to satanic worship, including the most obvious, that movie Maleficent, which the woman's a devil. I mean, it is absolutely horrible. In the Aladdin movie, he's just a peasant. He's got dark skin. And at the end of the movie, he's a prince and he's got light skin. And they show you the two different shades from beginning to end. And it blew me off my chair when I saw it. Todd, they are the most racist. And also Mickey and Minnie, they're both gay from what I investigated.
What? Oh, wait. I thought Mickey and Minnie were like boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, supposedly, but they're both questioning their gender.
So who really? And where's your evidence of that?
Well, okay. If you just Google it, you'll see it.
No. I want to Google. Yeah, I mean, we're on the radio. We put you on the Grace. Put you on the
sure.
air. I want you. So, how do you know that Mickey Mouse is gay?
Because it was references in the searches that I did online, and then they talked about that.
John, you got to be careful with the online stuff. I mean, there's a lot of fake news out there on the interwebs.
There's a lot of bad vibes in these Disney movies. They always start out. The mother of one of the characters gets killed, and that's to get your emotional spirits. Broken.
That is true. That gets me.
I
get it. Bambi's mother gunned down right in front of that poor child.
Watch the end of Dumbo, and there's three or four crows. They're speaking like Afro-Americans.
Oh, well, yeah. The black crows. Yeah,
the black crows. Yeah,
not the singing group, but the actual crows.
Never let them do that. Now
that's true. Zippity doo dah, zippity a. Yeah, my oh my,
exactly.
What a horrible day. All right, John, appreciate the information there. I wish we could chat more. This is fascinating. Grace, there's a lot to unravel here. So, Apparently, Walt Disney, according to John here, and he has Googled all of this, so clearly he is in the know, that Mickey Mouse is gay and Minnie Mouse is a lesbian. And then all of the dwarfs are on drugs? Okay, that's all right. Very good. All right, we're going to. Maybe I'm on drugs today. I don't know. I could use a BC powder. We'll be right back, America.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
The Aristocats. What about them? Or Lady and the Tramp? Is there some sort of subliminal message there? Grace, what did you do? We need to have a conversation here.
What did I do?
I mean, John was very, he sounded very sincere.
Yes!
And he clearly has done his research.
I don't, listen, I put on people all the time, I don't agree with their opinions.
It's the method. I think the methodology in researching whether or not Minnie Mouse is a lesbian.
Yeah, we've got to move away from just looking it up on
Google.
And
what was Dumbo, a white supremacist? I didn't understand the connection
about
there.
The crows.
The crow, I knew the crows, and I think we all kind of figured out the crows were like, you know.
Yeah, no.
A little suspect.
A little stereotypical.
But I did cry. I remember as a child crying when, you know, Bambi's mom got, you know, whacked.
The Lion King. Hello.
You know, I may be the one American who did not like The Lion King.
What?
Yeah. What is that? Ay caramba. Ay caramba.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't sing that very well.
No, that's not it.
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of Lion King.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, folks, I want to share with you some information, and we've got a big event coming up at the end of April here in Memphis, Tennessee. Conservatives from all over America are going to be gathering at Mid-America Seminary. It's called the Citizens for America Foundation. And write this, and Grace, let's post a link to this in the live show blog, citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. I'm going to be delivering a speech. Well, there are more than 30 prominent conservative leaders and me. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great one-day event. Senator Marsha Blackburn's going to be speaking. Former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, Pastor Robert Jeffress from Dallas, Texas, among some of the keynote speakers. And I want you to be at this event. It's like $15. You're going to get a lunch out of it. It's a pretty good deal. Again, citizensforamericafoundation.com. And we'll post a link to it on the our website, too. Stick around. We'll be right back. James Rosen from Newsmax coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. The president said while he was in Europe that we are training Ukrainian forces in Poland. Is that accurate?
At this time? Is that the time setting of the statement?
That's what the president said. Jake Sullivan said we are not. I'm just trying to figure out if we are or are not.
I do not believe that we are in the process of currently training military forces from Ukraine and Poland. There are liaisons that are there that are being given advice, and that's different than I think you're referring to with respect to training.
All right, that's General Walters walking back yet another statement from President Biden. The president saying that Americans were training Ukrainian troops in Poland, just one of many statements that the Biden White House has had to walk back. And at some point you wonder, is Biden actually speaking for the presidency? There is a report up over on FoxNews.com, former Clinton pollster says that Biden's poll numbers are in a dire situation, especially when it comes to whether or not he is competent enough to be president of the United States. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us, great American and a great journalist, is the White House correspondent for Newsmax TV, James Rosen. James, good to have you back with us.
Todd, great to be back with you. Thank you.
You know, James, you've covered Washington for a very long time, and I'm wondering if you have ever seen anything at this level where a White House is having to walk back things coming out of a president's mouth.
Oh, we see it with every president. The question is the time, place, and manner, and the real world implications for it. I can remember pre-9/11 when the new President George W. Bush appeared in a television interview with CNN and was asked what the U.S. would do to protect Taiwan from a potential invasion from the Chinese mainland, still a very much a current topic. Again, this was in the beginning of 2001, and then President Bush simply said, whatever it takes. And that sort of flip, seemingly off-the-cuff flippant remark was interpreted, of course, by the Taiwanese as a tantamount to a treaty declaration, if you will, and a mutual security pact that the United States would do, quote, whatever it takes to protect the island. That had to be walked back. But there's no question but that President Biden, who was never known as a, shall we say, the most linear of speakers across his political career, has had a number of instances, both before and since the invasion of Ukraine, where his messaging has been either at odds with that of the rest of his administration or simply ill-advised. We go back to the January 19 news conference where he famously alluded to the fact that Russia might face diminished consequences if it merely mounted a quote-unquote minor incursion. That had to have a statement issued by the White House almost in real time. And then more recently, we've seen the president's reluctance to brand Vladimir Putin a war criminal, then his ultimate decision to do so in a seemingly offhanded comment to a reporter in a noisy setting. And then most recently, of course, this comment in Poland, my God, or for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. And then having to deny that that is tantamount to a call for regime change, Todd.
James, I'm curious. What are there any rumblings? Are the White House staffers, are they talking to you guys? Are they expressing concerns privately? What's the attitude and the atmosphere in the White House?
The people who work for President Biden are true believers. They see no evidence of any kind of cognitive issue of the kind to which you've alluded in this segment, and they regard those who do as cynical partisans. To the extent that the president's job approval ratings remain unusually low, to which you also alluded earlier in our segment, his staffers see that as simply a communications issue and one to be addressed over the course of the midterm cycle, with the president getting out more often, speaking and meeting with real Americans, and getting advice from a broader range of figures just beyond his staff. That at least is what he said in January. His poll numbers have not improved since then.
James Rosen on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Of course, James, another big story that is brewing, beginning to get legs. We're watching the Hunter Biden laptop email scandal. The big headline on Newsmax is that the DOJ may be ramping up that investigation. Can we expect questions being asked from the White House press corps about that big story?
We've seen questions asked by the White House press corps about various facets of the Hunter Biden story. Invariably, the response that comes from the briefer, most frequently Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, but these days the briefings are being conducted by Kate Bedingfield, the director of communications at the White House, due to the fact that Ms. Psaki and her principal deputy, Karine Jean-Pierre, both tested positive for COVID. Usually the answer we receive is a simple referral to the Department of Justice. And they then also usually note that Hunter Biden doesn't work for the federal government. But that is taken to an illogical extreme in the sense that even when asked about statements that they themselves have made from the podium, either the president or the press secretary herself, during her service as a federal employee, that too is met with a stony referral to the Department of Justice.
It's all fascinating, and I think that these are legitimate questions that need to be addressed, and I think these, you know, especially after the mainstream media and these social media fact checkers dismissed this whole Hunter Biden story as Russia disinformation, now we know that is certainly not the case after all.
That has been one of the thrusts of the questions posed. Are you now willing to concede this was not Russian disinformation? Hunter Biden himself, in a memorable interview with CBS News in 2021 to promote his memoir, acknowledged that the laptop may be his, and it may well be Russian disinformation. He said he didn't know. But nonetheless, I feel compelled to add that prior to my becoming the chief White House correspondent for Newsmax at the first of the year, back in 2020, when I was a reporter for the Sinclair Broadcast Group, it was this reporter, 5 days before Election Day in 2020, who broke the story that Hunter Biden was under active FBI criminal investigation. No other mainstream media followed up with reporting on it one way or the other. The FBI didn't say anything one way or the other. The Biden-Harris campaign at that time didn't say anything one way or the other until after the election in December of 2020, when Hunter Biden himself confirmed as much.
Well, and well done. James, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate your fine reporting up at the White House and on Newsmax TV.
Hey, always great to be with you, Todd. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Absolutely. James Rosen, everybody, from Newsmax TV. We are huge, huge Newsmax fans around this place. And again, to James' point, he's the guy that broke the Hunter Biden email laptop scandal in the first place. I want to tell you guys about my good friends over at Patriot Mobile. They're America's only conservative Christian wireless carrier, and that's a big deal. First of all, they've got great service, and you're going to love that. But more importantly, the money that they send to organizations that fight for causes we care about. And that's one of the reasons I'm a big fan and supporter of Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That is a great website for you to check out for more information. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Now, they have great nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other carriers use, and they have a plan to fit any budget. It doesn't matter, you know, how big or how small, they're going to work with you. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, you need multiple lines, they're going to give you even additional discounts. Here's the deal. All you need to do is call 972-PATRIOT, that's 972-PATRIOT, and use my first name as the promo code, Todd. When you do that, you're going to get the discount. You're going to get free premier activation. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. We'll be right back, America.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have a story up on our website. Caleb Park, our managing editor, man, he is crushing it. Big, big stories out today. And one of them involves Disney. So now we've got yet another Disney leader that is coming out and bashing Ron DeSantis, saying that they're going to be fighting tooth and nail to repeal the parental rights in education law that is now on the books. Beyond that, there is another Disney executive who says that they are going to ensure that all, moving forward, that at least half of the characters in the Disney cast of characters must be LGBTQIA, and they must be minority. So by the end of the year, Disney is going to ensure that at least half of its characters will be gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, or asexual. And that's going to happen by the end of the year. And then, and I guess is that half of So we're talking about, out of all of the characters, I guess, Grace, we're talking about half have to be gay, and then the other half have to be minorities, or is that half of that half?
I think it's half of that half, but it's very confusing.
It is very, it's all very confusing. But you know
and
what?
Frustrating.
And here's the thing. I mean, a lot of parents are just going to say, oh, okay, whatever, because they don't want to be bothered by it. You know, I think it's, I don't think parents are going to care. I think that all of these Christians that are out there, and you know the ones, and they're out there and they're saying, oh, we've got to, you know, get rid of all the gays. We've got to get rid of the gay storybooks. Those are the same people that are going to be vacationing down at Disney World.
Ouch.
I mean, that's just a reality. And I know this because I know a lot of the people who go to Disney and they're from that crowd.
Uh-oh.
But Todd, you just don't understand. It's different. No, it's not different. No, it's not different. No. It's called hypocrisy. Ooh. But I you hate to go down that path.
Kermit the Frog meme, that's none of my business.
No. And you know why I don't talk about, you know, people being like the large marges of the world? Because that would be hypocritical, right? Right? Exactly. Why is Kyle shaking his head yes? Stop. I'm just saying, Grace, that this is not going to change. I hope, you know, I appreciate that guy we had on. What's his name? Jose Castillo. He's running for Congress. And he was one of the few that's actually bold enough to come out and say, hey, my name is Jose, and Disney is making a big mistake here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's everybody else?
Yep. Because there's more of them, supposedly.
It's cowardice. And it angers me. Because you know what? We all have something to lose. Mm-hmm. All of us have something to lose.
Of course.
You know, I could have stayed quiet at Fox News, and I could still be living in Brooklyn, New York.
Fair enough.
But I didn't.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, everybody's got something to lose here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired of the excuse, well, I'm afraid I might lose my job, or they might say something about me on Twitter. You know, go look at my Twitter page. Go ahead and look at that feed. And then get back to me.
Some people just don't get it.
No, there is a lack of courage in America.
Oh, yeah.
There is a lack of courage.
Mm-hmm. Politicians and the common folk.
So that's why I don't think this is, I just don't think this is going to move the needle with that crowd.
Yeah, that's fair.
So when, I don't know, the next rewrite, because, you know, they're doing all the revisions of the movies.
Yeah, it's really getting old.
Yeah. So when Dumbo and Bambi are getting it on, don't come complaining to me.
Oh, my. That's a terrible image.
Well, especially if Dumbo's on top. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Painful. I'm just saying. It's painful for the... Well, Bambi's a cute little tiny deer, fragile. So Dumbo's got some...
But we know Bambi's a boy.
Issues. Do we know that Bambi's a boy?
Yes. When he grows up, he's... Yeah, he's got the antlers. It's a boy.
It's been a long time since I remember that. Why do they call him Bambi?
I don't know.
That's not a boy's name. Well,
it's a cute little deer.
The Disney conspiracy theory guy is right about that. I don't know. What about Dumbo?
Watch those dwarves.
Where does Dumbo's trunk swing?
Let's see. Is Dumbo a boy elephant or a girl elephant? I'm Googling it.
Oh, gosh.
It's a boy.
Well, they'll fit right in. So you know what? There you go. So there's your... So, you know, when you're trying to figure out which Disney characters are going to be gay, because clearly if half of their characters are going to be LGBTQIA+, they've got to start, you know, switching.
Doing some rewrites.
Yeah, doing some rewrites. Thank you. That's a good way to address.
Including with the furry creatures.
Oh, geez, Alou.
Just don't touch my 101 Dalmatians, please.
Or Smurfette.
Smurfs are not Disney.
Or are they not?
No.
Aren't they? They're the little dwarf people, though. I thought they were related to the Snow White crowd.
Oh, this is... But the Smurfs, like the TV show? No, yeah. That's a completely different
thing.
But you
got Papa Smurf and what, Brainy Smurf?
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
Jeez. You know, all these little midgets and dwarfs and the little people, they get me all confused. I'm just saying, Grace, I'm just a little confused. 844-747-8868. I mean, I may be wrong here, but I have yet to hear anybody. And normally our phones are blowing up on stuff like this. And people, Todd, I can't believe, I cannot believe that Minnie's a lesbian no more. We're not spending any more money at Disney World. I haven't heard anybody talking about that because they know I'm right. People just aren't willing to go that far anymore. So there you go. And don't complain about it. That's the thing. If you're not going to take action, stop complaining about it. There you go. All right, coming up, I want to get into this, the Hunter Biden email laptop scandal. The Department of Justice now looking into this. CNN is the latest, and the Washington Post are beginning to jump into this. And so we're gonna see what they have to say. One CNN commentator pretty much summed it up like this. Cut number five, please.
It seems pretty clear that Hunter Biden was trading on his father's name to make a lot of money.
And it wasn't just Hunter. Go back to the emails. The big guy gets 10%. The big guy is Joseph Robinette Biden. He was getting a cut off of all of this. So there, if the Republicans take back the House, I think a lot of this is going to come out, and we're going to understand exactly who got what. No doubt Biden is going to be facing impeachment if the Republicans take over the House. And the Democrats may not be all that anxious to intervene. And I say that because this could be the opportunity that Democrats need to get rid of Joe Biden. If the cabinet's not going to invoke the 25th Amendment, maybe, just maybe, if there is enough corruption, that could be the path forward for the Democrats wanting to get him out of the White House. So we're going to jump into that. We'll also be taking your calls as well. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And folks, especially our new listeners, if you have not bookmarked our website, you should do that. We have some great stories that come out. Also, breaking news coverage. Our team is doing a terrific job. And it's an opportunity for you to download our free podcast and newsletter. Just some of the free things we offer you here on this program. We'll be right back, America. All right, all you big NFL fans, the Tennessee Titans looks like they're going to be getting a brand new stadium. And the Republican governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, put, what, $500 million of our tax money into the kitty. They say it's going to cost about $2 billion to build the new Tennessee Titans stadium in Nashville. Now, here's what gets me. Why do they need a new stadium? In all seriousness, what the stadium here in Memphis is what was built back in, what, the 1960s? And, yeah, I mean, it's old, but, you know, it still works. It's still going. Teams can still play, and, you know, their fans can still go sit in the seats. But why is the current stadium was built in 1999. It was opened in 1999. So we're looking, what, 22 years old, this stadium. And now they're saying it's old and outdated. And they want, so the Titans are wanting all this money. You know, here's the deal, folks. If the football teams want a new stadium, the football teams should build the stadium. They should fund the stadium. They're making billions of dollars off professional sports. Why do the taxpayers have to foot the bill for all of this nonsense? And why do the Tennessee Titans, why do they need a new stadium? Seriously. I mean, what is wrong with the current stadium? It's not like it's 30 or 40 or 50 years old. Grace, are they just tired? Do they just want something new and shiny? Is that what they're wanting?
Probably, because it's like an attraction. So it attracts people probably to move here, I'd imagine. So they probably feel like they have to keep up with everybody else. You like see, keep up with the Joneses, kind of a thing.
So there are people out there that would actually, you know what, I want to move to Nashville, but they don't have a nice football stadium.
Well, it's not really that. It's just like when you're pitching, I don't know, the Titans, Nashville, all that stuff. You don't want to have a stadium that looks like it was, you know, built 30, 40, 50 years ago.
So Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers, how many Super Bowls have they? I mean, just a lot of Super Bowl wins.
Yes, very
they have
successful
a very
football
successful
program.
Football program, right? I would say more successful than the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Their stadium, built in 1957.
Yeah.
The current stadium, 1957.
Now, okay, so they're wanting to completely have a new stadium, not just do renovations?
No, they're going to, they said it's too expensive to do renovations. So at that price point, so they're going to get a brand new, and they're going to have a roofed stadium. So they want to have an indoor football stadium. Because they want to host the Super Bowl.
Yes, that is what that is definitely for. And they probably figure that would bring so much money to the city.
One time.
Uh-huh.
How many times are they gonna have the Super Bowl?
I told you, I don't care a thing about the NFL. I'll say that the FedEx Forum here in Memphis, Memphis Grizzlies play in the NBA, they've done renovations to the Forum. Like they installed we were way behind on our Jumbotron. Ours looked very small in comparison to most other stadiums. Well, a couple years ago, they finally put a new one in, and it's massive and beautiful and great. But they didn't have to take down the whole, you know, stadium. They just did gave it a facelift, if you will.
It's a waste of money, in my estimation.
The renovations or a brand new stadium?
A brand new stadium.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a waste of money.
That's a little much.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. I'm just saying, there's a lot you can do with $2 billion. And I don't care what the Titans do with their money. I care what our tax money is being used for. And I know you folks, and the NFL likes to do that. They like to hold these towns hostage. I know they tried to do this with Buffalo, New York, the Buffalo Bills. And sooner or later, the good people of Buffalo and wherever else you got teams, you're going to have to stand up and say, you know, you're not going to hold us hostage here. We love football, but we don't love it that much. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones here. Charles in North Carolina, WSIC. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, we've got a great football stadium. It was all privately funded with PSLs at a very high price. But before you get to Hunter Biden's laptop, I wanted to just kind of weigh in on what you were talking about earlier with what's being, you know, the Disney and, you know, this transgender stuff being taught in schools and everything. I don't know if you saw Jesse Waters last night, but he had showed a poll that was taken by YouGov. And you know how when you watch all these commercials now, it seems like certain racial groups are overrepresented. Whites are the minority, and white males are portrayed as bumbling, effeminate, and every other person is gay or transgender. You know how that just seems to be the way everything's going?
That is true. Sports. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, according to this YouGov poll that Jesse Waters had last night, apparently it's having an effect because 41% of people think that the country is black, when in actuality it's 12. 39% of people think that 39% think that's the Hispanic percentage of the population, and it's 17. When you get to the people who are transgender, 21% of Americans thought that the population was transgender, when in actuality, it's only 1%. And I'll even say that 30 years ago, when you and I are about the same age, I'd never heard of transgender because it didn't exist. It's a 21st century invention. And then 30% of the people thought that people were gay, when in actuality, it's only 3%. So I guess my point in all of this is that, you know, we've got to stand up for truth, and there's only one absolute truth, and that's the Word of God. And there are only two genders, male and female. And I'm just wondering, do you think that we should start at the local and state levels, maybe cutting off funds to these school districts and colleges that are promoting this? Because it's basically what they're promoting, Todd, is not only immoral, but it's just a lie. I mean, it is a basic scientific fact that there are only two sexes out there. And to try to promote anything else is just lying to these children and doing what I consider to be irreparable harm.
Charles, I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, we've been a proponent of that on this program for years. You're right. They are advancing a lie. And quite frankly, they're endangering the entire country when they do that kind of nonsense. You know, think about it like this, Charles. I've heard pastors preach about this for years, reminding us of the fall of the Roman Empire. I mean, the Roman Empire, you know, ruled the world. They were powerful. They were mighty. They had great scientists and engineers and architects and, philosophy, the whole nine yards. And it all fell apart because of the debauchery, of the immorality. And when you look at what's happening in our own country, Charles, you talk about the science. We're having people that are just completely ignoring the science now. They don't want to acknowledge the science. And I'm now beginning to understand when the pastors warn about we could go the way of the Romans. I understand exactly what they're talking about now, and I see how that could happen to us.
And I do too. And I just think if we don't get a handle on this, I mean, like now, with these young people coming up through kindergarten and school, it's not going to take very long for people's sense of morality to be totally distorted, and we'll lose the country very quickly. It doesn't matter what else we try to do. With the way these kids are being indoctrinated politically and then culturally, it's just having the destructive force. And I think we've got to fix that first, and I think that needs to be on the national agenda and everything else.
Good call, and good thoughts, Charles. Appreciate you. Let's go real quick. Memphis, Tennessee, DeMarcus, KWAM. DeMarcus, what's on your mind?
I think that, that's the goal, for a lot of people, here in the United States, is to try to tear down the Constitution, to try to do away with it, and to try to, rebuild it and make it and mold it to their own personal liking, by allowing transgender males to have access in women's locker rooms and in women's bathrooms, and also by allowing, transgender males to participate in women's sports. And also, not only that, by exposing, these kids to all types of these younger kids, these grade schoolers to all types of, pornography. And so if we don't watch that, man, they could very well get away and having something like that happen. But also, I also want to mention, that this war in the Ukraine is continuing. It's continuing to rage on. And I think that the United States is, I think that we're straddling the fence in terms of getting these Ukrainians the help that they really need. And we're providing the weaponry and the humanitarian aid and all that, but we're not. They're not. In spite of that, they're still not prevailing over Russia's advancement. And so I think that we're not going all out and helping these people prevailing over Russia. And so I think that we have got to do a little bit more, because these people are advancing and destroying as they go along. And so I think that we need to do a better job in helping those Ukrainians.
Well, all right, DeMarcus. Two big issues you brought up there, and I think good points on both. DeMarcus, we got to run. Let me weigh in though on this Ukraine situation here for just a moment. The Ukrainians are a proud people, and I think they have demonstrated that they are fighting back, and they're capable of fighting back, and that they can beat the Russians if they have the tools necessary to fight. And we've got to do a better job of getting those weapons into their hands. My concern now is, what is Putin going to do to save face? If, in fact, the Ukrainians, as has been reported, are actually pushing back, And there are a couple of reports now of explosions happening in Russia, reports that the Ukrainians are actually making some incursions into Russian territory now. Would Putin use chemical weapons? Would he use a nuclear weapon to put down this war and put down the Ukrainians? I mean, that is a grave concern. All right. Hunter Biden and this laptop scandal. This is nuts. So now CNN and the Washington Post have now authenticated the laptop is real, that it was not Russia disinformation. The New York Times did that a couple of weeks ago. James Rosen did it from day one. So now what we have here, as shocking as this may be, no, it's not shocking. We all knew what they were going to do. They had all this information back during the presidential election. And yet people in the media, the leftist in the mainstream media, made a concerted effort to shoot down any of these stories. They were buying into the propaganda coming out of the Biden administration. So the question now is, what was really going on with this multi-million dollar investment and the ties the Biden crime syndicate had to this Chinese company? That was one of the emails discovered. We're talking about thousands. And by the way, the Washington Post, they've authenticated thousands of emails. Thousands. These are the same people who downplayed and disparaged the New York Post for reporting on this back in 2020. Remember, the New York Post, ladies and gentlemen, they were actually punished by Twitter for reporting this information. The Washington Post, this is from a Fox News report. The Washington Post published a lengthy report about Biden's multi-million dollar financial ties to the Chinese energy company, CEFC, China Energy. Over the course of 14 months, the Chinese conglomerate paid $4.8 million to entities controlled by Hunter Biden and his uncle. And again, why are they paying this much money to Hunter Biden? He's got absolutely no experience in the gas and energy field. None. None whatsoever. According to the government records, court documents, bank statements, and emails, the Post has verified this reporting. The Post says that it found no evidence that President Biden personally benefited from or knew details about the transactions, which all took place after he left office as vice president. Anybody else believe that? One of the emails says the big guy gets 10% right off the top. Joe Biden is the big guy. The Washington Post, quote, the Post review draws in part on an analysis of a copy said to be of the hard drive of a laptop computer that Hunter Biden dropped off at a Delaware repair shop and never came to collect. The laptop was turned over to the FBI in December of 2019. By the way, Matt Gaetz, Congressman Gaetz, asked the FBI under oath during a hearing, where's the laptop? FBI says, we don't know. How do you not know where the guy's laptop is? The Post reviewed a copy of the drive that was obtained by Rudy Giuliani and other advisors to then-President Donald Trump. Quote, after the New York Post began publishing reports on the contents of the laptop in October, the Post repeatedly asked Giuliani for a copy of the date to review before the election, but the requests were rebuffed or ignored. So basically, the Post is saying, well, Giuliani wouldn't give us the laptop, so we couldn't verify anything. So they're blaming it on Trump. I've got more of this to share with you. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, got to put a pin in the Hunter Biden story, which we will pick up with tomorrow during the first hour. So you're going to listen to tomorrow's program. This news just coming in: the FEC, Federal Election Commission, has fined Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. They also fined the DNC. Now you say, Todd, what pray tell did Mrs. Bill Clinton do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is from Charlie McCarthy over at Newsmax.com. The Federal Election Commission has fined Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee for, brace yourself, lying about funding a discredited dossier which attempted to smear then-candidate Donald Trump. This is from the reporting of the Washington Examiner. The dossier, written by Christopher Steele, who was the disgraced former British intelligence officer, was circulated to the FBI and media outlets before the election. Its unproven assertions that Russia had embarrassing information about Trump and some of his campaign advisors were meant to damage Donald Trump. Once again, Donald Trump was right all along. The FEC said Clinton and the DNC, and keep in mind, the argument from the Trump campaign, which has, and they have been destroyed over this, was that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats funded the dossier. So they're the ones that paid for all of this fake news. And now we know it to be true. The FEC, in a memo to the Coolidge Reagan Foundation, which filed a complaint more than 3 years ago, said it fined Clinton's treasurer $8,000 and the DNC's treasurer $105,000. It is the first time, according to Dan Becker telling the Washington Examiner, it's the first time that Hillary Clinton has actually been held legally accountable. And we'll try to get Dan Becker on the program tomorrow. Unbelievable. So there you go, folks. The breaking news of the hour. Turns out Hillary funded the fake dossier. More on this over on our website, toddstarns.com. Be safe out there across the Deep South. It's getting stormy out there, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.